We dive into the sugya as the beginning of our diving into Torah's Purim, after which later points then we'll get to Purim Torah. And we'll dive in, as we were talking about earlier this morning, we'll dive into a sugya that is perhaps somewhat familiar to some, and more importantly, a sugya that seems as though it's the most tactical sugya possible in the world of Hilchos Purim. How could we have found, if you want to have something freilach and geschmack, you should talk about Shalach Manas, Matan Sev Yainim, Sudas Purim, Adlo Yada, First Eitzach. But Nikr Megillah, and specifically, mainly want to talk about Nikr Megillah, want to talk about Magdim Lemakinisa, Yom and Laila and Shmei Kaona, all freilach and zachen. But how you write a Megillah? Not even how you write a Megillah. How you write, how you prepare the parchment for Mikra Megillah, it seems so technical. And you might say to me, open the Daf Yotes, even Mamash on Megillah Daf Yotes. Cohen, couldn't you have found a better topic? Instead, you could have just gone a few lines up. A few lines up. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah is a three-way machlokes about Mikra Megillah. Where do you start reading the Megillah from? We never thought that was a question. Of course, you lay in the Megillah. But that's only the position of one out of four Tanaim, the Tana of Meir. As we usually even pass like Reb Meir. Reb Meir says you read a whole Megillah. Mehechad Adam Karis HaMegillah, the end of the Mishnah, Daf Yotes Amud Aleph. From where do you begin reading the Megillah? V'yosef Odecha Avasa says that you can fulfill your Chiv. At the top of your Mishnah, at the top of your test, someone else. Reb Meir says, Kula. Reb Yehuda says, Ish Yehudi. Reb Yossi says, Me'achar Hadvar Ma'ela. Reb Meir says, you start from the beginning of Perek Aleph. Reb Yehuda says, you start from near the beginning of Perek Beis. And the Tanya Reb Yossi says, you start from Perek Gimel. And the Gemara adds two more things. Number one, a fourth Shita. And number two, some explanations. The Gemara adds the missing Tana. That trio is part of a quartet. Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, part of a quartet. The one who's missing is Rabbi Shimon, otherwise known as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the full name of the town of Rabbi Shimon. Exactly. The Gemara quotes the missing name. He had a position. Also, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Mi balayla hahu. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, you start from Perek Vav. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had a much shorter Mikra Megillah. He only leaned half the Megillah. Of course, the great Baal Kabbalah, Mesami Alav Kavanas, there could be his Mikra Megillah of the last five prakim was longer than our Mikra Megillah of the whole thing. Moreover, not only does the Gemara give four shittas, it also gives several explanations. I'll share one of them with you. The Gemara says, what's the Machalikus about? So the Gemara says, they all came, perhaps, the first explanation we have for these four shitas is they're all coming from the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? A pasuk at the very end of the Megillah. The tichtov Esther Amalka Mordechai Yehuda is called Tokef. When the Megillah talks about itself, Esther on Esther, when the Megillah describes its own writing, very meta, so the Megillah describes itself as Tokef. Esther and Mordechai wrote all the power. All the power of this story. So what's the power? So the Gemara says, maybe that's the Machlokas. Manda Makula, Reb Meir says, you lay in the whole Megillah, Tokfo Shal Achashverosh, telling the powerful story of Achashverosh. Achashverosh is introduced to us in Perek Aleph. Manda Mi'ish Yehudi, from Perek Beis, near the beginning of Perek Beis, Tokfo Shal Mordechai. That's where the Mordechai part of the story begins. Manda Achashvar Ma'ele, if you say Reb Yossi, start from Perek Gimel. That's where we introduce to Haman, Takfo Shel Haman. And finally, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the great Mekubal, he says Takfo Shel Nes. We're not focused on any one person. We're focused on how Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the Nes about. And although it's in the works for a while, it really picks up steam. Bad Balayla Hu Nadal Hashnas Hamelch. So you might say to me, you want to learn in Yanni Megillah. So this is Geshmak, this is Freilach. And I agree. As a matter of fact, I think it's fascinating that there's a halachic machlokas. Number one, that If you never learn Yutes, Stam did. If you never learned Daf Yutes, it's shocking to know that anyone. Wait, what do you mean? You don't learn the whole Megillah? Like, how are you talking? And the Gemara makes it clear they did have a machlokas about how long the Megillah is. Everyone agrees that the Megillah starts from Vayhi B'Melech Hashveirosh. The Shaila is just how much do you learn? After all, we have a full Sefer Torah every Shabbos. You don't learn the whole Sefer Torah every Shabbos. You have a full Sefer Torah, a Kasha Sefer Torah. You learn one chunk of it. So the machlokas is not what's in the Megillah. The machlokas is which section or sections of the Megillah do you learn? Which also, besides being so fascinating that even should be such a machlokas, it happens to be at the intersection of halacha and machshava, or halacha and parshanut. You have a halachic machlokas that seems to be partitioning the Megillah into four sections. Almost like there's the Achashverosh section, and the Mordechai section, the Haman section, and the Neh section. Because there are four different stories, four different tokfim, or tikafim. There's the Achashverosh story, then there's the Mordechai story, there's the Haman story, there's the Neh story, different layers of what's going on within the very multi-layered story of Megillas Esther. And that perspective, that Parshanut perspective of seeing the sort of the different layers and different segments of the Megillah is expressed fascinatingly in a halachic machlokas. We could have spoken about that. Instead, you choose to go down another couple of lines, go to the bottom of Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, and go from an area of halacha that seems so obviously rich and provocative and suggestive in terms of machshava and parshanut, just a couple lines down. Instead, we're going to start from a din that seems so incredibly technical. Take a look at the very bottom. A Gemara that I hope is well familiar from Morgan Seder today and earlier. It's mamish the next segment. Because you see, on the fourth to last line, you have Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rabbi Chaim Bar Gurya, the end of the previous sugya, Amar Rav. How do we paskin? Usually we paskin like Rabbi Yossi against his Chaverim, which would have had us laning from Parakimo. But here the Amar Rav said, the Rav says, no, Halachik Divrei HaOmer Kula. We paskin like Rabbi Meir. You lane all of Mikra Megillah. Not surprising to us, that's how we grew up. A little surprising in terms of Klalei Pesach. Okay. Rav says this is an exception here, Pasul like Rameir. And then he says, I feel a ma'andarmi Ishihudi, even the smallest, even the other Shitos in the Mishnah, for instance, Ishihudi, Sricha Shate Ksuva Kula. Rav makes a point that I said before outside, that this is not a machlokas over the writing of the Megillah. Everyone agrees you have to, the whole thing has to be written, just a question of how much you read. Okay. And with that, the Gemara then pivots to another comment, which is unrelated, except being the same yichus, the same Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Chama Guri, Amar Rav. And that's why this too is on Yutes Amud Aleph, Megillah, Nikrei Sefer, V'Nikrei Sigeres. You mentioned something, how you write the Megillah. I'll tell you another point about how you write the Megillah. Not only do you write all the words, but let's talk some more, and there's another layer of connection. Let's talk some more about how the Megillah describes itself. In the previous sugya, the first mahalach in explaining the Tanaim was the Mishnah that the Megillah calls of Tokef. So there's a Tokef, there's a powerful story, and maybe we should be focusing on a particular aspect, a particular Tokef, a particular layer of the power. Is it the Achashverosh, the Mordechai, the Haman, or the Nis? Then he says that there are two other descriptions given of the Megillah by the Megillah, and the closing psukim of Perek Tes, when the Megillah, after telling the story of the Nes, the Yeshua, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav, and then telling the story of the grassroots adoption of a Yom Tov HaPurim, and then the formal Takana of the Yom Tov HaPurim, and then finally the Megillah tells, at the very end of Perek Tes, right before the taxes, you hear about the writing of the Megillah, and the Megillah describes itself being written. So Rav points out, the word tokef is about the content, what the Megillah tells us about. But when the Megillah actually talks about the Megillah, a Megillah, the Megillah calls itself a sefer, a book, a formal scroll, and it calls itself an igeres, a casual letter. Nikrei sefer. Here you saw the psukim inside, and they are conveniently on the side here as well. I'll call Direi HaIgeres Hazos V'nichtav BaSefer. So it calls itself an Igeres and it calls itself a Sefer. So is it formal or is it casual? Is it business or is it casual? Which one is it? Is the Megillah a formal Sefer or is it casual Igeres? So the Gemara answers, you obviously have to sew belt loops onto the Lululemon pants. It's Beferish Gemara. What does the Gemara say? On the one hand, Nikrei Sefer Shem Tefar B'chutei Pishtam Sula. On the one that it's called a Sefer, this has to do with how the Megillah is stitched, how the Megillah is bound together. You don't write an entire Megillah on a single piece of parchment. As you know, parchment is a type of leather. It comes from animals. There's a limit. It's not synthesized. There's a limit to how big a piece of parchment can be. It can't be bigger than an animal. So if that's not big enough to fit the whole Megillah, obviously you're going to have to attach multiple pieces of parchment together to make a single Megillah. How do you mitzarev multiple pieces of parchment together? So we're used to doing like this, with staples, or with some sort of binding, or you just have a stack of papers with a paperclip. So what do you do for a Megillah? So the Gemara says, well, like any sefer, it has to be stitched. It has to be stitched together into a single scroll. If you just have a stack, a piece of parchment, or you clip them together, or even you staple them together, it has to be sewn together. If it's not sewn together, then they're not mitzuruf, and just like separate pieces, it's not a single sefer, so you don't have a sefer shalem. It's not kosher. To make a sefer shalem, if you're not going to be able to fit it all, micography on a single piece of parchment, you're going to have to sew it together. How do you sew it together? So the Gemara says, you have to dafka sew it with gidin. It has to be, and not only is the parchment, is the paper, so to speak, animal-based. You cannot write the Megillah on paper or papyrus. It has to be on parchment, which is made from skin. So even the binding has to be animal-based. If you use flax, linen thread, it's no good. It's no good. On the other hand, it's called an igeres. It's a letter, which is more casual. Shem hitabag, shosha, chute, gidin, kshera. You don't have to use all gid. Gidim are sinews, either nerves or blood vessels, fibers from the animal. So when you write a sefer Torah, all of the stitching has to be done with gidim of the behemoth. When you do a Megillah, you don't have to have 100% stitched animal stitched. You can use a mix of animal thread and plant-based thread. So that's what Rav says here. That's what Rav says here. That because the Gemara present, because the Megillah itself has a stira, on the one hand it's formal, on the other hand it's casual, so they say, oh, the answer is, that's a business casual. Chatzi chatzi in between. It can't be totally casual, but it doesn't have to be fully formal. It doesn't have to be mamash, like I say, for Torah, to have full 100% tefira b'gidin, but you cannot have total tefira b'pishtan. You have to have some gidin. If three out of the threads are gidin, the rest are flax, that's good enough. And that's how Rami Yashev, the stira between the two self-descriptions, self-stylings of the Megillah. Is it a sefer or is it not a sefer? The answer is sort of. Yes? Sure.
Firstly, why can't we turn this into why can't we
read this draft? I don't know. Well, how did Rav know that this is a reference to the to specific to the tefira? As opposed to parchment, I'm not sure.
Also, yeah. Tendons.
Tendons. Fascinating. Okay.
And there's a family that has like a mafia about it where they grill it out into so
they can. Okay. Yes. Emmett. You had a question? No, no question.
Why three and not the majority?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. How they got to Dafka Gidin and why Dafka three? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Yeah, good. Good kashas, good kashas. Here's another good kasha. Yeah, Yehuda.
Is it from the second statement, v'nikr sigera shehintit tova shoshav yudin getting sheriff? Isn't it that a way to say that it's kind of like a sefer in the sense that you have to have some of it, but not all of it? Like, it's kind of like a sefer, kind of like a yigeres.
Right, correct.
So wouldn't that statement be enough? Why would it be the first one also?
No. Nikre Sefer, that to leave out the Gidin entirely, is no good. If Tvar B'chute Pishtun, that's no good. But on the other hand, Igaris tells me, it does to be fully Gidin, just merely three Gidin, and the rest Pishtun is already sufficient. That's already adequate. Because after all, although it's called Sefer... Right. That's the balance of the two. We already said Nikra Sefer, now we just explain what Nikra Shigeras adds to, how it balances things out. Yeah, what's the Kasha that Rashi and Tosafot are both bothered by? Tosafot and Menachos. The Gemara Menachos puts together two Gemaras here in Megillah. This Gemara and Megillah, Daf Yutes, together the Gemara earlier in the end of the previous Perek, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis is near the end of the longest medrash in all of the Talmud Bavli. Every once in a while, in the different places, the Talmud Bavli is a rich mix of Halach and Agada. Specifically, within the Agada, every once in a while, the Agada will be specifically medrash. By medrash we mean Torah Balpad, it's arranged al Seder HaPsukim. So every once in a while, you'll have medrash Agada within the Talmud Bavli, meaning where the Gemara takes a chunk of the Tanakh and goes pasuk by pasuk, commenting on the Psukim in order. Together, every once in a while, you have the first paragraph of Sota about the story of Shimshon, a couple places in Shas where the Gemara will move for a period of time into medrash mode. I believe that by far the longest such chunk of Medrash anywhere in Talmud Bavli is the last 6-7 blot of the first parak of Maseches Megillah, where the Gemara goes through a Medrash on all of Esther. And sometimes people find it easiest to start Maseches Megillah from parak Beis. You go to the end and you go back, right? And the reason why is because Perek Aleph has a lot of complexity to it. The first, the beginning, middle, and end. The beginning is Hilchos Megillah, but many, it starts with halachas that are not familiar. Makdim Eliyah Maknisa, not knowing anymore. The middle of the Perek is all the Ein Deins. Your sense is people get, unfortunately, scared of Kachem and Taras. And then the end of the Perek are the Medrash Esther, which has its own complexity in terms of to working out what the Gemara is driving, reading the Gemara, what the Gemara is driving at. So sometimes people find it easier to start from learn the last three prakim first, and then come back to the first parak last. If you're planning to very rapidly chazra all of Maseches Megillah between now and Shushan Purim, so you can decide how you want to strategize. Okay. Be that as it may, so we do that. So we start from the second parak, now we come back to the first parak. Because in the first parak, we come back to these psukim in the perspective of Medrash Esther. Here on Zion Bay, the first paragraph, I believe, ends with Zion and Aleph, I believe. So here we're at the very end of the first paragraph, and the very end of the Medrash on Esther, ready up to the end of Parak Tes. So here the Gemara says, in the medium width lines, this is unusually shaped amud, tazayim abeis, the narrow lines, the wide lines, the medium lines, and the wide lines again. So the medium lines, a name that obviously is close to my heart, the line ends with divrei shalom v'yemes. The third medium width line, Tes Zayin Amud Beis, Divrei Shalom V'Yemes, Amar Rabbi Tanchum, V'Amri La Amar Rabbi Asi. I'm not aware of any relationship, but either the Amar Rabbi Tanchum, who apparently was from Eretz Yisrael, or the Amar Rabbi Asi, who we know is from Eretz Yisrael, say, one of the two says, Milamei Shatricha Sirtu Kamita Shal Torah. Ah! It's called, the Megillah refers to itself as Divrei Shalom Yemes, words of peace and truth. Words of peace and truth. So what, that's very poetic, that's very beautiful, but what does that mean? Well, the Megillah is words of peace. That's an interesting reflection on the Megillah that requires some thought. The Megillah seems to have a lot to do with strife, a lot to do with hatred, a lot to do with strife, a lot to do with attempted genocide, and a lot to do with war. So it's remarkable to call the Megillah Divrei Shalom. The Megillah, a lot to think about in that. And then, what's perhaps even more surprising, is the Megillah tells itself that this is true. When someone tells you honestly, I really mean it, but truthfully, what does it usually tell you? Right. It's like when someone says no offense, they're about to be very offensive. Unfortunately, when someone says Nishav Shabbos Geret, there should be a period and paragraph break after that. But unfortunately, usually Nishav Shabbos Geret means I'm about to talk about this on Shabbos. Can I get that in? No offense usually means I'm about to offend you. Shalom Kedin. And Dirish, and to say, but really, but truthfully, usually means I'm about to lie. Shalom Kedin. So, why is the Megillah telling me this is true? And again, if any of you are taking formal logic, so you can get lost in the world of you know, this statement, what's the truth value of a statement that says this statement is false? That's a iteration you don't want to get stuck in. But here, this statement is true. Shkoyach, either it is or it ain't. Well, what do you mean the Megillah is telling me? So we believe in Munah Shleimah, the Megillah is true. Okay, so the Megillah told me it's true. I believe Megillah, that's true. Manavshach. If I didn't believe in Megillah, then Megillah telling me that's true wouldn't really help me very much. What do you mean, Divrei Shalom v'Emes? Divrei Shalom, you have to think about deeply. And maybe Divrei Shalom, the Megillah refers to Divrei Shalom, maybe teaches me something profound about the definition of Shalom. But what does Divrei Emes teach me? The Megillah is true. Megillah is true. Otherwise, I would have thought Megillah is false. Because the Megillah told me it's true. Now I know it's true. So you could have said, maybe it's also teaching something deep about MS. And maybe MS means more than just true as opposed to false. Oh, right. And we know a man named MS. So he no doubt has a special place in his heart for the Megillah. Because it shares the same for, it must be cousins. But, yes, Taka, in one sugya. Look at that. Two of us appear in one sugya. How about that? Tanchum and Emes. I'm not sure. So, but the Gemara takes a different tack. The Gemara suggests instead, not that this is speaking to an additional layer of the Emes of the Megillah, or actually, no, maybe it is taking that same tack. Emes doesn't only mean true as opposed to false. Emes means what? What does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say? Sirtut. How? How does Emes mean Sirtut? I mean all true statements are cut with razors and all false statements are not? No. What? Oh, Kamita Shel Torah. Because the truth of Torah is halachically required to be written on a piece of parchment, which is misurtat, which has already been lined, which has already been scored. So just like the truth of Torah has to be written only on a piece of parchment with a sirtut, so too the Megillah has to only be written on a piece of parchment with sirtut. Oh, so when we say the Megillah is true, we don't only mean true as opposed to false. Certainly, we do believe the Megillah is true and not false. But there's an additional layer of meaning to MS, which is that it's similar to it's treated and presented similarly to a different truth. An MS with a capital Aleph. Not our good friend, whose name is MS with a capital Aleph, but a text, a part of Torah, which is called MS with a capital Aleph. Which part of Torah is that? What does Rashi say? Which part of Torah? What? All of Torah is true. What do you mean? Amita Shel Torah, the true part. Sefer Torah. Oh, so Matzel says, look in Rashi. Rashi says here, at the top of the second column, it says, Zayin Mabez, Kamita Shel Teure, Kesefer Teure Atzmoi, like a Sefer Torah itself. Just like we write a Sefer Torah, that's the ultimate truth of Torah, the original, the work written authors, the author's original, the text written by the Rosh himself, you have to say for Torah, you're going to make sirtut, so too, when you write a Megillah, you're also going to make sirtut. It has the same status as Chamisha Chumshe Torah. What's the one piece which is missing? You tell me, well, the Pasuk tells you Megillah is just like Sefer Torah. And what's the one logical piece which is missing that Rashi fills in? No. What's the one piece that Rashi fills in?
Why don't we allow
you to say Sefer Torah? Well, who told you Sefer Torah needs Sefer Torah? Where do you get that from? What's Rashi's answer? Oh, very good. As Rashi said, by the way, sirtut is halacha moshmi sinai. The requirement for sirtut in the Sefer Torah is halacha moshmi sinai. That's a din daraisa halacha moshmi sinai for a Sefer Torah. When Chazal created the Rabbanan concept of Megillas Esther, Esther and Mordechai wrote it and petitioned Anshei Me'asar Gedolah, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Megillah, to canonize it, to include in the Kisvei HaKodesh. The Gemara says there are two major issues that Esther raised with Anshei Knesset Gedolah that are recorded in the second half of Perek Tes of the Megillah. One is Kivuni Ledoros, and the other is Kisvuni Ledoros. Kivuni, Kuf Beis Ayin, Bi Koveyami. And that Kivuni Ledoros, Kivuni Ledoros, means establish the Yomtev for Purim as a permanent Dindrabana. Kisvuni, write me with Doros, that meant she had already written the Megillah, but she wanted to have the status of being part of the Tanakh, being part of the Kisvei HaKodesh. She turned to Anshei Gedolah with those two requests, Kivuni Ledoros and Kisvuni Ledoros. So when the Anshei Gedolah thought through and decided, yes, we are going to include Esther in the Kisvei HaKodesh, it's going to have the status of Tanakh, so when they set that up, they included that it's even Divrei Shalom V'Emes as the same status as the Sefer Torah, the same way Sefer Torah min haTorah based on Lachon Shusina requires Sirtut, so to Megillah Midrabanan as the status of Divrei Shalom V'Emes. What now? If you were to follow, there are two ways you can get from this Rashi to Menachos Daf Lamed Beis. What are the two ways you get from this Rashi and Tezayin to double it from Tezayin to Lamed Beis and Menachos? Gilling Hashas is number one. Good. Because Rebbe Akiva Eiger, that little bullet was a convention by the Vilna printers. Whenever they printed Svarim, they always gave Rebbe Akiva Eiger that bullet. That bullet you see in Rashi, that mark, that circular mark. Sai in Mishnayos and in Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch, all three were published in part or whole by the Vilna printers with the same font. You have the Yochanan Abo's Mishnayos were published by them, and the Vilna Shas, and Shulchan Aruch Yaradeya. And all three, that bullet always sends you to Rekhi Veger. Rekhi Veger Mishnayos, Rekhi Veger Gilna Shas, and Rekhi Veger on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch. So that bullet sends you to Gilna Shas, which is a copy of Rekhi Veger's notes in the margin of his own Gemara, and he says, aha, take a look at Tosfos and Menachos. I think the most common thing of Rekhi Veger does in Gilui Hashas, he's more famous for his kashas and the famous yeshiva shahak about maybe shemichai between when he ends his kashas with tzarachi and katan, a tzarachi and a tzarachi and gadol. Is there a difference? Okay. Yesh lo ayin, a tzarachi. But he's most famous for his kashas, but probably the most common thing he does in his Gilin Hashas is not to ask kashas, but to send you Makaris, and specifically, it's a reverse Masoros Hashas, which I mean, Masoros Hashas tells you when this Gemara appears in different Gemara, and if you're learning a Tosfos, Masoros Hashas will tell you where the Gemaras appear. Rekhi Veger does a reverse Masoros Hashas. He'll tell you on a Gemara, Here's where Tosis elsewhere quotes this Gemara. If you look in Tosis Menachas, Daf Lamed Beis, it says in the parentheses, and I believe that's from the Taras Hashas, oh, this is a Gemara Megillah Taf Tezayin Amed Beis. But you need Kiva Eger to tell you in the Gila, this Gemara is quoted in the Tosis over there. So one way you get from this Rashi in Megillah Tezayin to times two, Gemara Menachas Lamed Beis, is because Kiva Eger told you. The other way you get there is because there's a line that Rashi himself says, Sirta Talacha L'Moshe Misinai. Where did he get that from? Sirta Talacha L'Moshe Misinai. How do you know Talacha L'Moshe Misinai? So the answer is, Azoy Shteit Beferish on Daf Lamed Beis on Beis Masachas Menachas. That's the only place where the Gemara says, I believe, that Sirtut is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Here you see it. You turn to Menachas Daf Lamed Beis on Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 lines from the top. Sirtut halacha l'moshe misinai. You see that? Really? You saw that in the Gemara? No, you didn't. No, if you actually pay attention, you didn't see that. Or you did see it, but with a twist. What was the twist? I left out two words. Right. The Gemara said, Sirtut shal mezuzah halacha l'moshe misinai. And the girl goes on to say, Hilchasa, tefillin don't require sirtut, and mezuzah does require sirtut. So right away, just from comparing Rashi with the Gemara that he's quoting, you know, hey, that's interesting. Rashi is sending me, if I do a Bar Ilan search, or I do a Chaim Kanievsky search, or however, or I just do a, I do a Google search, or I do a Wikitext search, and I look for Sirtut Halacha Moshe Sinai in Shas, I believe the only place you'll find it will be Menachas Lamed Beis on Beis. But the problem is, the Gemara said Sirtut of Mezuzah. As a matter of fact, the Gemara never said anything. The Gemara said Mezuzah does need, Tefillin does not need. The Gemara had some achlokas about that, and that was the Maskana. There were those who said, yes, no, Maskana is Tefillin do not require Sirtut, Mezuzah does require Sirtut. And what does the Gemara say about Sefer Torah in Menachas? What do you want to say? What Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, not needs Sirtut? What does the Gemara say? That's also a trick question. Right, the Gemara doesn't say anything about Sefer Torah. It's wide open. So that's interesting. Okay, so that one, that's Bechal interesting. Rashi clearly feels the need to tell me how do you know Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. I said before, he felt the need to give a mocker for that. No, it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. What Halacha Moshe Sinai? The Gemara never spoke about Sefer Torah. Only spoke of Mezuzah, yes, and Tefillin, no. Mezuzah does require Sirtut, Halacha Moshe Sinai, Tefillin do not. Interesting, the Gemara never spoke about Sefer Torah. Not only is it interesting, it's already curious, but the Meir started saying before, it's not only curious, there's also a kasha. Now what's the kasha? Oh, the kasha is, I don't understand. Look at these two pages. See, what's handy about this Mar Makomas booklet, as opposed to having the actual Gemara Megillah, is that you're missing Daf Yud Zayin and Daf Yud Ches, which normally would be a problem, but it happens to be convenient because it highlights the fact that there's a big stira l'chor between here and here, between Tezayim and Beis and Yutes. I'm an olive. There's a curiosity and a stira. There are two problems when you compare Tezayim and Beis. You test some olive with which we began to Tezayim and Beis which we're on now. Problem number one is what happened to Gideon? That's the way Meir put it. And I rephrase that as, are we like, is Megillah like Sefer Torah, or is it not like Sefer Torah? Right? On Daf Tezayin of Beis, we just said Megillah is like Sefer Torah. Not sort of like Sefer Torah, not a little bit of Sirtut, three lines of Sirtut. No. Like Sefer Torah. No ifs, ands, or buts, absolutely like Sefer Torah. Nivei Shalom Yemes, Melamed Tzri Chasidra, Kamidah Torah. Without any qualifications, or any limitations. Whereas on Daf Yutas, we said, well, it's like a Sefer Torah, but it's also not like a Sefer Torah. Well, Epke Bepke, it is, it isn't, it sort of is. So make up your mind. Is it fully like a Sefer Torah, and that's a din by Sirtut, full Sirtut? Or is it sort of like a Sefer Torah, a din by the Tfir Begidin, which is sort of Tfir Begidin? So Tfir number one is, are we fully like Sefer Torah, or are we partial like Sefer Torah? And then problem number two, which I think Meir was angling for more, is how many different terms do you need to compare Megillah to a Sefer Torah? Is it the two Gemaras are using two different terminologies? Daf Tezayin said, "Oh, it's like a Sefer Torah." Because what term, in according to Daf Tezayin, what term does the Megillah use to refer to itself as a Sefer Torah? There was Shalvi Emes. According to Daf Yotesh, what term is used to compare it to Sefer Torah? Sefer. So, number one, why are we ignoring Igeres on Daf Tezayin, but not on Daf Yotesh? Igeres has the counterbalance. And why do we need two different terms to say like a Sefer Torah? Divrei Shalvi Emes and Sefer. It's not that the fact that the Megillah has many ways of describing itself is not a problem. Remember, we saw before, earlier in Daf Yotesh, we used the word Tokef, a fourth description of itself. But that's not a problem. The Megillah might have many aspects to it. As I said before, Tokef is about the plot, or about the story, or about the focus. That's fine. That the Megillah will use various terms to refer to itself is not necessarily a problem. I mean, different aspects of the Megillah. But to use two different terms to specifically say, like a Sefer Torah, that seems a little bit redundant. That seems a little bit redundant. So much so, now you might ask me, but then why am I schlepping in Menachas, Daf Lamed Beis, if I want to tell you a steer between two different Amudim and Mesachas Megillah? Why are we schlepping in, what does Menachas Lamed Beis have to do with this? It's a good double kasha, a double steer between Tezai and Yutes, A, two different terms, MS versus Sefer, and B, is it fully like a Sefer Torah, is it only a partial equation? What does that have to do with Menachas, though? Why are you schlepping Menachas? And this is an internal Megillah issue. Why are you bringing in Menachas as a third party? What's the answer? Because Tosas and Menachas, that Rabbi Akiva Eger sent you to, is the one who points out this kasha. Tosas and Megillah does not raise this. Tosas and Megillah is busy with other things on these Amudim. He does not raise this question. But ironically, in Megillah, in Menachas, is where he points out. So we're going to, let's recap for now. We'll head back to the Beis Medrash. We'll complete the sugya both in Halacha and in Hashkafa, Bli Neder, tomorrow. But let's recap where we're at, because Lachar, we have three problems, at least. Number one, a steer between Megillah Tezayin and Megillah Yotes as to, is Megillah fully like a Sefer Torah, or is it only partial like a Sefer Torah? In other words, is the Igeres a counterweight that says, not totally like a Sefer Torah, that's happened after your test, or no, Igeres is ignored, fully like a Sefer Torah. Problem number two is, does the Megillah refer to, when the Megillah wants to equate itself to Sefer Torah, do we use the term Divishan V'Emes, or the term Sefer? And finally, problem number three was that when we looked, Rashi told us, Sirtut Halacha Moshe Misinai. And he's talking about Sefer Torah. When you look at the Gemara Menachas, and it seems like Rashi left out two words. Sirtut Shal Mezuzah Halacha Moshe Misinai. And it's intriguing that Rashi is ignoring that. It's also intriguing that the Gemara is ignoring Sefer Torah. But you don't need Rashi to tell you that there's a famous trio of Stab, of Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah. So even the Gemara itself, maybe this is kasha number four, it's intriguing that the Gemara left Sefer Torah out. Where is Sefer Torah in all this? But certainly, Rashi seems to be injecting Sefer Torah in. But how? So all these three or four problems of this, a double steer between Tezai and Yotes about whether it's a full or partial equation, and the fact that we need two different terms, MS and Sefer, and then the fact that Rashi is drawing Sirtut of a Sefer Torah, Halacha Moshe Misinai, then the Gemara does not seem to speak about Sefer Torah, only about Mezuzah. So those are all three problems. They seem like separate, disjointed problems, but all three problems which Tosis is going to solve, and we're going to seek to A, see Tosis' solution, B, figure out, well, what was Rashi thinking? We're going to seek to defend Rashi. We're going to defend Rashi by finding a Rishon who agrees with Rashi and gives additional insight. That Rishon is the Rambam. And hopefully the insight we'll get into Rashi will not only be a yeshiv of these technical halachic questions on Rashi, but also will speak to the larger hashkafa of the Yontif of Purim, the history, the role that Purim plays in the history of the Jewish people, the unfolding intellectual and spiritual history of the Jewish people, which speaks to the story of Purim and speaks to the hashkafa of Purim, and perhaps all of that history and hashkafa is expressed in these halachas of the Megillah. So we'll continue with this, continue with Seder now. There's plenty to work on, and we'll continue with this in Shir tomorrow. Shkoyach.